Don't know. Can't tell. I'm not touching it. Are we good? Okay, let me turn me down a little bit. Let me try another different spot. While I'm in the midst of it. I can also do an imitation of a wind through a cave as well, too. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. So we've come back to some familiar ground. Had a good look through the holiday season of the birth of Jesus, different individuals and groups involved in it, and then some reminders of those things which, since God works in real time in our lives, that the changing of a year can mean. So now we come back to Luke's Gospel, the life of Jesus, as recorded by Luke. I'll read it, chapter 19, verse 1 through verse 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Lord, we ask your blessing as we come to your word, so that it does not just remain as words in a book that is very important, but Lord, that you want to, by your Spirit, speak to us, to speak into our lives. For Lord, you know us inside and out, through and through, better than anyone else. And Lord, even with your knowledge of us in that way, you are still so gracious and compassionate to how you treat us, always drawing us by your Spirit to yourself for our good and our eternal well-being. So Lord, we just pray your blessing. We pray again for those over us in authority as your word directs us to, for those in our country, our nation, our state. Lord, may it be your will that is done. We do not know all the ins and outs of all things, but you do. And Lord, I just would pray that decisions are made which are beyond selfish interests. Lord, in accordance with truth, we do pray for them. And pray for real Christians who are serving in such capacities, for those who truly belong to you, for your blessing upon their lives. May they be those who stand up for the truth and for principles of righteousness. Lord, we pray for those who are away from us, some on the foreign fields, some far away like Betty, others serving the country, and others just because of employment in such a way. We pray for your Spirit to minister to them as they give attention, Lord, to worship and your presence with them. We just pray for them. And Lord, for those who we know of who are just down, sick, ill, for your mercy, for your grace, for your healing. Lord, we know there's just things going around. We just pray for your mercy to them. And again, Lord, for our lives, for whatever our needs that you know them to be, Lord, for material, for financial, for our hearts, for spiritual, Lord, for our very souls, that you would speak to us, that you would give us ears to hear, Lord. Open my ears. In this section, if you're a note taker, to give you a bunch of words that start with C, there's the collector, there's curiosity, there's compassion, there's a command, there's a choice, there's complaining, there's conversion, there's a change, and there's a commendation. So again, there's a collector, curiosity, compassion, command, choice, complaining, conversion, change, and a commendation. I give that to you in case I wander away from it, so you'll know where we're going. Now, at this point, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is past the half point of his 3 years of ministry. And so he's coming through Jericho, which is about 17 miles from the city of Jerusalem. And he meets someone, and this is the main character he will deal with, this collector, this man Zacchaeus. And it says of him in verse 2, he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And just to remind you, as we've looked before, the nation of Israel was under the heel of the boot of Rome. I mean, it was just Roman law, and they let Jewish people hold to their traditions as long as it didn't interfere with Roman law. And if we think we have it bad, we don't know what it's like to live under the strict authority of a foreign power and all of the limitations. That was Israel under Rome. Now, Rome was there not just to occupy the land, but also, like any other enterprise, to make money. And one way it made money, Rome made money, was through taxes. And so it had to have those who collected taxes. And it found those who were Jewish to collect taxes from the Jews to fund Rome. You can imagine how happy a job that was. Not at all. And so Zacchaeus was a Jewish individual who worked for Rome, taking tax money from Jewish people to give it to Rome. And it says of here, he was a chief tax collector. So he could have had those who were under him. He was a prominent tax collector, very important individual. And also, since Rome sort of gave the tax collectors authority, but without responsibility, so they could collect what they wanted as long as Rome got what it wanted, so the tax collectors, it was one of these well-known secrets that they could charge more than necessary in order to make their income so that Rome could have its allotment. Does that make sense? So in charging what was above what was necessary, the extra would go where? Into their pockets. And so Luke records, Luke being a Gentile and a doctor, so paying attention to details, records in verse 2, and he was rich. So we're not talking just an ordinary level tax collector. He was rich. He was chief. Now you can imagine his social life. Maybe you can't imagine. talk about the word lonely, we have no idea if there's a Mrs. Zacchaeus. Lonely, all in capital letters. Alone. He's a Jew working for Rome. I mean, he could be about as popular. In verse 7, he's called a sinner. A man who is a sinner. The end of verse 7. So he's as popular as the proverbial cat in a dog kennel or skunk in a chicken shed, whichever you understand the best. He is not popular at all. Tax collectors were to be shunned, and they often were. So that's Zacchaeus. And for some reason, his curiosity is piqued, and he hears about Jesus coming, verse 3. And I don't know what gets him going in his mind. Maybe he understood that one of Jesus' closest followers, Matthew, used to be a tax collector himself. We don't know what he knows about Jesus or about who his followers were. It could be that he's heard of Jesus' miracles. If you look at the end of chapter 18, right before this, there's Jesus meeting with the blind man, and Jesus heals him. And right at the end of chapter 18, before 19 starts, immediately he received his sight, followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So maybe the grapevine has sent word throughout the neighborhoods and the communities, hey, if you haven't heard, you need to hear about this, and also that this Jesus is coming this way. So we don't know what piqued his curiosity, but he was. He sought to see. He sought to see. Verse 3, that's how it starts. Who Jesus was. For whatever reason, he's curious. Now, I have the next. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree. He was of short stature so that he could have an unobstructed view. So there he is, up in the tree. So I have the next, compassion. Verse 5. Because when Jesus came, and I don't know the outline of what a sycamore tree looks like. Obviously, Zacchaeus could scramble up. So if Jesus saw him as he was coming towards, but Jesus stopped. And I call this compassion. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to remind you of the life of a tax collector who is avoided at all costs. Because what does Jesus say? He calls him by name, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I'm going to be in your home today. Now that's compassion. Because this is an individual in the culture that about everybody, 99.9%, unless you were related to him somehow, and then you probably didn't want to make it news that he was your uncle or your relative, because the stigma would pass upon you. This is a person that just about everybody would avoid, like the plague. And here comes Jesus. And so to the person, do you know people who are, you just can't stand for whatever reasons? Only maybe it's you and 100 others who can't stand the same person. So you're in good company. And so here's Jesus, who comes along, who knows exactly who he's talking to, and tells him to come down, and he invites himself for lunch. As one person said, so when he got home, if there was a Mrs. Zacchaeus, we're having a crowd today, honey. Why is that? We're having Jesus, and oh, I've heard about him. Did you invite him here? No, he invited himself. Because that's what happened. I don't know. But Jesus says to him, I'm coming to your place. How compassionate is that? When's the last time you've had a bona fide pagan sinner in your home for a meal? Or gone to their place to eat with them? But we're not just talking about somebody who's of the nice-smelling rose variety. We're talking about this is those who would just be absolutely shunned. And Jesus says, it's more than just do coffee. Let's have a meal together, and I'm coming to your place. Isn't that amazing? It's just the way the Savior was. Now, we'll get to it later, but just how he was with people didn't matter. As a matter of fact, you could say that under the eyes of Jesus, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and so we're all in the same bucket. It's just a matter of degree. So here he is inviting himself. Such compassion. And he does say, Zacchaeus, I'm staying at your house. Now, I put in there command and choice because Jesus is telling Zacchaeus what's going to go on. Now, I don't know. It seems like there's no hesitation. Maybe Zacchaeus is in absolute shock that, first of all, Jesus knows his name, and secondly, that he wants to come and visit him. He has a choice at that point. He has a choice. But it seems like there's no hesitation to him because he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So if there was any doubt in his mind, it appears it was quickly dispelled, for he is receiving Jesus and receiving him with joy. This man whom he had heard about, who he wanted to find out something about, is now coming to his house. Okay, so we have, I don't know, whatever kind of well-known, popular person. You could go into a level of government, but we won't. So maybe it's some kind of movie star or someone that you would go, oh, they're in town and they're coming to my place in a spontaneous gesture. Okay, so the little city in Washington that was just about a half an hour west to us, Aberdeen, it's not really known for anything except if you want to go deep sea fishing out at Westport on the Pacific Ocean, you go through Aberdeen. And it's a city of about 15,000. And realizing that this message will at some point hit the internet, I'll say nice things about Aberdeen. But it's just kind of a no-name, generic, not known for anything, big logging mill city. But once, it had a visit from Mr. and Mrs., when they were together, Tom Cruise. I forget why. Why would he come to Aberdeen? I don't know. Why does... But it made the news, and it made... I mean, he wasn't taking a tour. They were not, when they were together, taking a tour through Washington State. For some reason, they just dropped in. And it was known. And like the media was so. So here's Jesus, and here's Zacchaeus. And to have Jesus announce that he's coming, I think if Zacchaeus would have worn dentures, at least the bottom one would have dropped out at this point. But he's coming, so it's like, okay, and he receives him joyfully. He comes. However, verse 7, we human beings, being what we are, mean, just look verse 7 if you have your Bible open. But when they saw it, oh, the great unnamed they, you know what they say? When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And that would have been, I'm sure, from the people who said this, that they thought they were being gracious to frame Zacchaeus as only a sinner and nothing worse. But immediately, they complained. Okay? So that's kind of the overall picture of this. Jesus has, and I think it's funny that they never said, as a matter of fact, Jesus invited himself to, but that he has gone to be a guest with. Because remember, in that culture, with all those levels of strata of society, there were certain people you simply did not associate with. You just simply did not. If you cared about what they, whoever they is, said. And so they're complaining. So even with that, so I take this, because it sounds like things just happened quickly, but I take this, and I think others do too, that what happens next was at the home of Zacchaeus. It wasn't just sort of an on-the-way thing. So they've made themselves to Zacchaeus' home, because what happens next is actually nothing short of a miracle. It was conversion. Because you look at verse 8, what Zacchaeus said. Try to part a rich man from his money. And those of us who don't have that much would like to know what it feels like to have that much in order to feel what it is to try to be parted from it. I hope that last sentence just made sense. But try to part a rich man from his money. And it will be the last thing that goes down as he holds his wallet up. And so here's Zacchaeus. And that's why I call this conversion. Here's Zacchaeus. Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold, which was according to Old Testament law. If you've stolen from, not just give it back, four times as much. And that's what he does. With no coercion, no conversation with Jesus in terms of, oh, Zacchaeus, we need to talk about things here. I just, Lord, here's what I do. And half to the poor to begin with. And remember, he was rich. Now, I call this conversion because in chapter 18, just a, who knows, maybe some days before, and for us, some weeks now, when we looked at Jesus' conversation with the rich, and he was also young, and he was a ruler who is rich. And in chapter 18, starting at verse 18, Luke records the conversation, Jesus talking with this, and what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he goes on and Jesus lists off, well, the law says this and that. And verse 21, done it. I'm good. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. And in essence says to him, there's one thing that's sitting on the throne of your heart that controls your life right now, and it's your wealth, because you're very rich. And we need, there's not two thrones in one person's life, there's just one. And whatever's on the throne, really, the universe of that person's soul revolves around. And with this one, it was his wealth. And so Jesus said, so we need to do some spiritual surgery. And the way to do it is, sell what you have, distribute to the poor. You'll end up with treasure in heaven, real treasure. Come and follow me. And verse 23, Luke 18. He became very sorrowful. He was very rich. And the other gospels say, and he walked away. He left. Couldn't dig it. So here it is. Just a little while back, Jesus dealing with someone who's very rich, who says, I can't do it. Part me and my money, I can't do it. And then on the other hand, there's Zacchaeus, who was rich. And without any prompting that we are given, it's just, you know, Lord, half of what I have right now to the poor, anything I've gotten illegally that I've taken, I'm going to give it back times four. I'll restore what I owe those people. I call that conversion. Because as Bishop Riley says, converted sinners will always give evidence of their conversion. Bishop Ryle. Converted sinners will always give evidence of their conversion. And that's the evidence. That which his life, we assume, and I don't think it's a long stretch, revolved around. He was rich, and here it is, on his own. Because there was that kind of change happening. And Jesus then commends him. Verse 9 and 10. And he calls someone in that culture, in his lifestyle, in his social life, in his small list of friendships, would you befriend him? Forget it. You just wouldn't. And what does he call him? Today, salvation has come to this house because he also, and there it is. There it is. Not just to the Jewish mindset, but to the Jewish heart, to that which flows through their history, a compliment, especially to him, to that kind, to be called, he also is a son of Abraham. So not just in nationality and race, he's as full-blooded Jewish as anyone else who's Jewish out there. But also in a sense, because Abraham was known as the father of faith. Not just many nations, but his faith that characterized Abraham's life. And here he is, a son of the father of faith. And also Abraham was called a friend of God. And this man is a son of Abraham. What a compliment. So that's why Zacchaeus, who he was, Zacchaeus, who he is, by the compassion and grace and a visit of Jesus. Without any explaining the four spiritual laws, without any of the going through, there's nothing there about Zacchaeus, I'm going to die for you on the cross. We're all sinners. You all have need of me and the salvation that I bring. And that's true. There's no sense of any other conversation. It's just that Zacchaeus is, here's Jesus, and he must know something about him. And in his presence and with him here, This is Zacchaeus speaking. I'm finding that my life cannot remain the same. And that's without any coercion or is being forced to or anything. It's just the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. My life cannot be the same. I have been treated by this one individual as I am as a human being. And Jesus was speaking of him as who we were meant to be by his grace. And so Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. And then gives him a phenomenal comment, a commendation, a compliment. And then verse 10. And this ties into how Jesus could stop under a tree with so many people around and speak to an individual who nobody wanted to be around and go to his house. And then at the finding out after the end of all this, that chief tax collector is no longer who he used to be. But just from this is now someone different. So how can Jesus do that? Verse 10, which I believe, Lord willing, we'll look into in much more detail next week, because sometimes you come across the strangest diamonds in the strangest places. And Luke 19:10 is one of those. But it relates to how Jesus could do this, but it's because for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And therefore, life has changed. How great. And then he still does it. He still does it. For those who, through his word, hear him speaking to their lives and to their hearts, you are not as I want you to be, for all have sinned. But I can make you more what you were meant to be. Saved, forgiven, a child of God, a child of the Father. And so he still does to those who choose. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I stop at this point and just stop there. Because, Lord, I don't know what you're speaking to anybody's hearts here, but you do by your Spirit. And so, Lord, if there's those who are hearing your voice deep in their hearts, then may they respond, Lord, to you. I mean, if somebody wants to talk to me further, I'd be happy to. But, Lord, it's you work in our lives in different ways. And Lord, I believe by your Spirit, for those whom you are speaking to, they know it. And they don't need, Lord, if you're talking to them and drawing them to yourself, they will. They will respond. So Lord, we stop at this point. We thank you for this record of individuals as far down in society, that is, as Zacchaeus, and yet how in grace you reached out and you draw near and you brought him to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for still doing that. So, Father, help us in our lives for those who know you, who belong to you already. Help us to learn, Lord, that there's those who you might bring into our lives that you want us to show your love to. Even though they might not be the kind of individuals that we would take a natural liking to, Lord, you want to work through us for your love and your grace to them. Lord, use us, please, to do that. Make us willing. Thank you so much. Lord, for your praise and your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnal.